Welcome to Know the Name, Know the Answers. This is your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth. I appreciate you all joining us again. Our guest tonight is Julie Salant. Now, just to give you a heads up, the call-in number is 888-627-6008. Again, 888-627-6008. If the lines are busy, wait about 10 minutes and call again. So Julie Salant is an equine communicator, certified life optimization coach, intuitive empath, and mind-body-soul alignment specialist. A lot of big words. Okay, really, she's a motivational speaker, a writer, a communicator who helps you move into alignment to be the absolute best you can be. She's created a three-step system from the sacred wisdom of horses combined with spiritual laws that allow you to live life 100% authentically on your terms with absolutely no limits. So this, when we had Julie on before, I received a ton of emails saying, when is she coming back? When is she coming back? And then about 3 months later, it was, okay, isn't it time to have her back? So Julie, I'm so pleased to have you back on the show. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Sharon. I love talking with you. And I'm so glad we got a positive response. This is wonderful.
Well, I thought so too. So out from popular demand, you're back. So I want to start with, are animals more telepathic than humans?
Absolutely, 100% yes. And the reason why is because they do not have the ego mind that the humans have. So that means when we, as they're more open and they don't have that filter that we have, which overanalyzes, overthinks, and talks us out of our intuition and what our intuition and heart is trying to tell us. So they are very much more open and attuned and ready to listen. And they take everything that you do and see in your home and they actually feel it and they remember it as well.
Wow. I just transported for a friend of mine, her dog in her car, because she was moving from Texas to New Hampshire, and her dog had always thrown up in the car with her before. So she said, oh my gosh, Ron, how are you going to do this? And so I just got the car, the dog in the car, and I said, okay, from the higher part of me that knows how to do this to the higher part of this dog that knows how to receive this, honey, you're safe. We're going for a long 3.5 day ride. Make yourself comfortable because it's not going to get shorter if you throw up. And I'll do everything I can, including stopping every 2 hours to make sure you've got water, food, and you get a chance to empty your bladder. And we had a very pleasant ride. And her owner told me just yesterday, she says, I've taken her riding twice now in the car and she's good. She's no longer throwing up. And I thought, good. I'm glad it worked for you. It definitely worked for me.
So you did two important things, Sharon, that you may not have even realized that you did. And the first was, you went to your higher self and to their higher self and communicated. And the second thing was you gave the most important message that you can ever give an animal, which is you are safe. And that will relax them. And then they understand, okay, I can let my guard down. I think this is going to be okay. She's going to take care of me. And you give them that safe space and you did it. And just by doing those two things, the animal heard you, accepted it and said, okay, let's go. We're doing this.
Well, it was a good thing because I thought I can't drive all these hours if you're going to be throwing up and stinking up the car.
Oh, no. Goodness, no.
You know, it's like, oh, no, we got to make this work somehow. So can we increase our own abilities to be intuitive by practicing with our animals or the animals that are around us?
Absolutely. So everyone that has an animal, whether you have a dog, a cat, a horse, whatever you've got, realize if you can that they see and hear everything that you do. So they're hearing and seeing you on the phone, talking with your family and your spouse, having dinner, and they retain all of that. And they see you when you're crying, they see you when you're laughing. And the best way to interact with them is to understand that they are a soul and they have feelings and they're actually communicating with you at all times. So it's just a different language that they have. And the best way to be intuitive with animals is just to open your heart. It's really simple. We overcomplicate it and there are no rules. All you have to do is just look them in the eye and say, I'm opening my heart to you. I'm here for you. I'm ready to hear what you have to say and listen. And they will communicate with you by a look, by a glance, by an action, or you'll feel it in your heart and your intuition.
So that's how come that the animals, I'm mostly around dogs, but there's tortoises and groundhogs and deer and squirrels and everything where I live. So can they tell when you're upset with them?
Yes, absolutely. If I was to go into your house and you were angry with me, I would feel your energy. And the same is true with animals. So all of us have our own personal bubble, and everything that you think and feel, if you're happy or sad, radiates outside of you and into their zone. So in your house, they're definitely going to feel it. Even in the wild, we had a deer come up a couple of years ago, and the deer, we were having a nice night and a cookout, and the deer looked at us, and I looked at the deer and I said, you know what, we're just having a cookout, we're not going to hurt you, it's okay, have your grass. The deer put her head down and did her thing and then left. So you can definitely communicate with them. All you have to do is open your heart, but they will feel all your emotions.
Which I think is just incredible. I'm not sure as people we could handle feeling everybody's emotions around us. What do you think?
No, because of our ego mind. See, the ego mind always gets in the way, and we are always wondering, well, you know, is that person thinking this of me, or what do they think? Oh my gosh, you know, that could be a bad thing. And that gets in the way where they just have pure communication. If you think of it as a lot of people love animals because they give that unconditional love, and they know and understand that they don't judge them, that's the kind of communication that you can have with the animals. But as humans, it's a lot harder for us because we have the mind, and that gets in the way.
So how do we get rid of that mind, or at least keep it at bay so that it doesn't get in the way?
The best thing you can do is to drop into your heart and to ask your heart, what would be the next best step? How can I communicate with my dog or cat? How can I reach them? And it's really that simple. It's eliminating the chatter that you're hearing and going on about, you know, overthinking this. I can't do this. I can't connect. I don't know how. When you start to hear those things, that's just your ego mind trying to figure it out. You don't have to know. You already know how. You just have to open your mind and your heart. And I always suggest dropping into your heart and asking your higher self, what would be the best way for me to ask my animal a question? To talk with them and then wait for the answer. Because sometimes the answer doesn't come right away. Sometimes it takes a minute or two for them to go, oh, you're talking to me. And then they're like, okay, let's talk about it.
Well, that's cool. We have a caller, Mac. Thank you for holding so long. I always like to give our guest a chance to talk a little bit before we start taking calls. And welcome to know. Oh, is he... He dropped off. He waited too long. So sorry. You can call back. I am so sorry. Okay. So my question for you is, do dogs look at us like gods? And I know that sounds crazy, but I often think that if there's a master on the earth, I would want to hang around as much as possible. I mean, I do. Anybody who knows more than me, I want to hang around and usurp and pull in as much as I can. And I'm thinking from a dog's perspective, I mean, we magically show up with food. We magically show up with what they need, you know, with their beds and whatnot. Do they look at us as gods like we might look at higher beings than us as gods?
No, they look at us as humans.
Oh, too bad.
And I'll tell you why. The reason why is because they see the backstory behind everything. So if you go and, you know, if you go and you say, oh my gosh, I got the dog food. And oh my gosh, there was such a line at the store. They hear all that. So they see you as a human. But they see you also as their friend, their companion, their everything. There are certain animals that have that one person that they're very, very bonded to. And no one else can take that person's place. And that person, they put them on a pedestal. They still see them as human, but they are their superhuman, if you will. They're like, that's my person. That person knows me better than anybody in the world. And I can go to them at any time and they get me.
See, that is so cool that animals can do that and that they feel comfortable and safe.
Yeah.
You know, I know that with my friend's dog, she was very concerned because it took her 4 months. This dog had been abused before the dog felt safe and comfortable with her. And she says, you've got like 20 minutes before you're taking my dog.
Wow. Wow. You know?
And she said, she was very, very worried. And I said, oh, I'm great with animals. Don't worry about it. And that was the first thing I did when I got in the car, is what I just said to you. And I just thought, okay, it's a long ride, sweetheart, So anyway, and the dog did great. But do dogs know pretty much right away from a person's vibration that that person's okay while another person is not?
Yes. So they see the human as the entire human that you are. In other words, they see beyond the facade. They see the person, if they're a good person or a bad person. They're really only looking at your heart. They don't care about the way you dress or where you live or how big your house is. All they care about is your heart and how you are vibrating to them. So if your energy is negative, and even if you're trying to kind of pretend that everything's okay, I'm sure you've seen people when they're trying to think, oh, I'm kind of nervous about this dog, but I'll put on a smile. And the dog gets a little bit more upset. That's because they see around that and they feel the fear. They actually feel it.
Oh, isn't that scary? But when we walk into a room, we can feel that too. I know that I started this thing years ago when I became a school administrator, and I was very nervous about having to present in front of 115 teachers. I thought, okay, this is different than kids. It's not really, but I thought it was initially. And I remember saying, okay, I'm going to send my energy into the room so that, and I'm going to fill the space before anybody gets in there. So as everybody comes in, they adjust to my energy. So by the time I have to get up and talk, everybody's going to be comfortable with me.
That's perfect. And that's exactly what you need to do with your animals. That's perfect.
Well, and I was just going to say, if you're meeting a new animal, is that the way to do it? Or if you're at the Humane Society, would you send your energy in ahead of time? Or would you, how would you go about making sure that if you're at the Humane Society, that you're getting the right animal for you?
So before I even went into the Humane Society, and we have rescued all of our animals, so I've done this myself. The first thing I would do is before I go in, I would just ask that I would please come across as a very loving, caring human, that I would drop all of my negative, anything negative or any anger or frustration, I would just drop it at the door, and that I'm here to find the best match that I can for both of us. It's all for the higher good. And when you put that intention out there that you're coming with a humble and open heart and for the highest intention and good of all, then usually the animals will feel that vibration. And basically, you're just sending out the intention of love so that when you go in, you're not judging, this one's good, this one's bad. It's more of a, I am here and I'm sending everyone in here love. And let's just see what happens. So, dropping your expectations and putting out the intention of love is probably the biggest thing that you can do at home and if you are in that type of situation.
Wonderful to know. Sherry, welcome to Know the Name, Know the Answers. How can we assist you tonight?
Hi there. Thank you for having me. I wanted to find out if are you doing readings on specific animals?
Yes, go right ahead. Ask Julie a
Okay.
question.
Okay, great. Yeah, I just want to know, both of my cats are amazing. One of them is a little bit overweight, and I worry about her getting diabetes because I had a cat who died from complications of diabetes, and so her name is Harper. And I just want to make sure she's healthy, and if there's anything else I should be doing for her, just because I just worry about her weight being a little bit higher than I would think it would be.
Okay, so Harper is saying that she's a separate individual.
Yes.
She would really just like you to put the past aside and just let her be because she feels good with the way
Okay.
she is. She feels as though she could lose a tiny bit in a girly kind of way. In other words, her girlish figure is pretty good. She's funny. This one's funny. Sarcastic, which I
Yeah, I
like.
can see that. Yeah.
But she's saying that she's an individual and she just wants you to see her as an individual. So basically, what happened with the other cat isn't going to happen to her. She feels good
Okay.
and she feels,
Okay.
like she could, lose a tiny bit, but she feels good about herself and she doesn't think she's going to go down the same road.
Okay, good. And she doesn't eat wet food, which is unusual in my experience, and so she's happy with all that. She's happy with what I'm feeding her.
So the food situation, so did you ever give her food and take the wet food and take it away, or have you always given her the dry?
No, I've always given her dry because I gave her wet food. She didn't want it, so she doesn't seem to care for it. And I tried a couple of brands when she first came home as a kitten. She just doesn't seem to care for it.
She's telling me the consistency is not to her liking. The consistency, okay. Whether it's shredded or it's just not appealing to her. It just doesn't, she'd rather just have the other stuff, the dry stuff, because she says the consistency is just kind of yucky. That's the word she's giving me. So I just have to give the word that they tell me. She just feels not,
okay, great.
Not good. Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything she wants me to know that I don't know?
She's telling me that she keeps showing me water. Does she drink a lot or not enough? Because I'm getting not enough.
She drinks a lot. She drinks, they have a bowl, and then she loves to drink from the sink, and I do that for her all the time.
Okay, so she's telling me she wants the cold. Can you put ice cubes in the water for her?
Sure.
Because she would really like that. That's probably the thing that will make her drink even more. She loves the bonding experience of doing that with you. She doesn't want that to stop. But what she does, what would help, you know, in the meantime, if you're out and about doing errands or something, would be to put some ice cubes in. She said that would be amazing if you could do that. She'd love that.
Okay, absolutely. And can I ask one more? I have a cat named Dodge.
You want to know something?
Is there anything Dodge?
You want to know something? Huh? Sure, you are so cute. This is exactly what happens. You get a hold of somebody like Julie, and I don't care how many questions you have, you'll always have one more. I want to recommend
I don't want to take anybody's time, so I'm happy.
I was going to say, I just lost Deborah. I was going to say, Deborah, call back in. It was forever that we were going to have you on hold.
No, that's okay. I'm happy with what I have. I'll let you go. I don't want to take anybody else's time. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Sure, thank you.
Now, Sherry and everybody else that wants to get a hold of Julie, all you have to do is go to her website. It's literally her name. And so Julie's easy to spell, but the last name is SAILLANT, and then it's .com. So again, you can always find the information on my website, knowthename.com, under the schedule page. And all you have to do is go to today's date, May 28th, and all of Julie's contact info is there. Her bio's there. Everything you could possibly want to know and how to make an appointment with her. It's all right there on the website, on my website, if that's easier for you to remember. Okay. And her name's spelled correctly there. Okay. Because I always think that's the big one.
That's the big one.
So how did you get started in this?
Well, I got started when I was 15 years old. My father, we had moved about 7 times in 7 years because my father was a professor and we went to different countries. And finally, when I was in high school, my father said, "This is the last time we're moving." And he promised me a horse. And what happened was I was the only one in a barn. I had my horse. I was saying goodnight to my horse. And there was a man there who had a beautiful, beautiful mare, but he would always ride her and he would beat her quite frequently. It was horrible. And this one night it was raining very, very hard. He brought her in, he took off her tack and he left. And I literally heard the word, I heard, "Help me." And I turned around and I was the only one there. And I kind of turned back to my horse and then I heard it again, "Help me, I need some help." And so I turned and it was her. And what he had done was he had taken her through a barbed wire fence and she was bleeding around her ankles. We'll call them hocks, but ankles, if you will. And she was wet and he didn't even brush her and she was in a lot of pain. So I ran and I got help for her, obviously. But that was the first time that I heard an animal in my head. They all have their own voices, just like humans do. They have their own tones and their own, you know, some have high-pitched voices, some have low-pitched voices, but that's how it started. And that's when I realized, oh my goodness, I can actually hear them and understand them. And that was kind of frightening at first, but then I thought, this is really great because I can be that bridge to help people figure out what their animal's trying to say.
Isn't that cool? So do you hear humans just as clearly as you hear the animals, or are we more convoluted?
I hear you all clearly.
How unfortunate it sometimes.
But But you know, it's interesting, Sharon, because a lot of people put up a lot of blocks and they don't want to even acknowledge what their own intuition and heart is saying. So sometimes if I have messages for them, I have to be careful because sometimes there are messages that I shouldn't be saying anything to you because you haven't asked me and you need to learn the lesson on your own. That's kind of karma. So what I try to do is just keep it to myself, keep it under my hat. And, you know, if you ask me, then, you know, I'm happy to share or happy to help you. And if not, then, you know, unless it's life or death, obviously, or something very serious, then a lot of times you need to learn the lesson yourself.
Isn't that interesting? And how would somebody know to ask you if they didn't already know that you had this ability?
I usually tell people what I do. And depending on their reaction is how I know if they get it or not, because some people still think it's silly and they laugh at it and they don't believe in it. And then other people say, oh man, that's really cool. And then they sit a minute and say, you know, I've been kind of thinking about, XYZ. And I'll say, yep, I kind of got that vibe from you. And then we'll start talking about it. But they usually, I can tell kind of pretty quickly if they're either in that A group or B group, either they get it or they don't. It's pretty simple for me.
That's nice to know. That's kind of like with this, that leads us perfectly into this coronavirus thing. There is a whole group of people out there that are saying, oh my gosh, I'm scared to death. Look at how there's so much fear out there. We need to make sure we're protecting ourselves and others and don't go out anymore and wash your hands extra and all that stuff. And then there's another group, and it seems to be pretty much nobody in between. There's another group that says, oh, this is just a lark. It's a farce. I'm not worried about it. And out they go and they don't worry. And I've watched them clash in post offices. Like, why aren't you wearing your mask? You know, where it's optional. Or when somebody's standing too close to somebody else and they turn around and bark, you know, don't you know what 6 feet is?
Yes.
You know, and then I watch other people go nonchalantly through life and it just like, okay, whatever. So, what are you seeing with this coronavirus?
Okay, I am seeing this virus from a different perspective. I have been on my spiritual path and awakening for quite a long time, but that doesn't mean that I am not going through my own awakenings and changes with it. What I see and feel is that this is a fear situation that has come about. Yes, a lot of people have passed away, which is very sad, but it is not worse than the flu. There are people that are more susceptible to it than others. And there has been a lot of fear around this and negative, you know, it's been in the good way, it's been a blessing in disguise because more people have found the time to actually sit with their families and face themselves than they ever did before. So that's the blessing. They're awakening, they're understanding that we're all connected with the earth. The only bad part is that the fear and control and perceived control of what they're trying to do to citizens across the world, not in just our country, is a very real thing. And something that people also need to wake up to, that we are not robots, we are not sheep, and that there is real information out there that this is something that they're using to, let's just say, to their benefit.
Wow,
Does that
that's
make
really
sense?
sad.
Does that
Yeah,
make sense to you though, Sharon?
and it saddens me that people would take advantage of a situation to their own benefit at the cost of others.
Yeah. And this is what a lot of my healer friends and I are saying. We are getting a lot of warnings that there needs to be a lot more connectedness in the world, and that if that was happening, as it is slowly with this virus, quote unquote, that they are people are awakening and they're realizing that we need each other and we need the earth. And that's probably the most positive thing that we can focus on. But I do want people to know that there is a lot of fear thrown out there. You can just look at CNN, and I'm not even going political, but there is just so much fear and we're not gonna make it and the world's ending. And that's just not the truth from where I'm sitting and from where other healers that I know are sitting, because we're bringing light to this planet every day and trying to hold it down. And a lot of people are waking up to their true potential and soul's calling.
Yeah, absolutely. Norma, I would really appreciate your patience and waiting for me to get to you. Welcome to Know the Name, Know the Answers. How can we help
Thank
you? What
you.
would you like to know from Julie?
Well, I have a dog. Her name is Brienne. We call her Bree for short.
We'd had her since August, so we got her as a puppy, and I'm not the best trainer in the world, although I've tried, but I've been having a lot of problems with her not being fully potty trained, and I'm just not sure how to get this message across to her of what she's doing wrong.
Okay, so when she does her business in the house, how are you handling it?
Well, today, I don't normally see her doing it. I don't catch her in the act, which I know is a problem. Today, when I discovered it, I did show it to her, and I said, that is no. We do that outside. Then I picked her up, and I carried her outside and put her outside and just had her stay outside for a while. I just did not interact with her for a little while.
Okay. So there might be a different way to approach that. And do you praise her when she does her business outside?
Well, today I did see her go number two outside. And I said, oh, good girl. I gave her a treat. And I said, this is what we do. We do this outside. I just don't know if she's getting the message from me the correct way.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like she's getting the message, and it feels like she's doing it. She knows what to do, but it feels like she's doing it a little bit on purpose for attention, and she's feeling like she needs a little bit more from you. That's what I'm getting.
Okay.
I'm getting a lot of in and out, and that you're busy and you're going in and out all day long. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I'm working from home, and this is a very, very, very busy time at work, and I've just been just consumed with on the phone and computer all day for the past week or so.
That's what I'm picking up, is that she's doing it a little bit for attention. She knows better because she's a smart dog, but she would really like to have a little bit more time with you. She understands what you're doing, but if you could carve out just maybe a little bit of time for her and really praise, go extra crazy on the praising when you're outside with her, I think this would stop. And just and also try just sitting with her and looking at her and just talking to her as I'm talking to you and saying, I understand what's going on, and I'm going to give you some more time. Maybe I'll give you an extra, 15, 20 minutes whenever you can. And let's try to work on this together because we're a team. I think she feels a little separated from you. She feels a little bit left out, and you're over here and she's over there, and she wants to kind of be part of the team.
Okay. Is there anything else she wants me to know?
I'm thinking, not that I'm picking up. I'm picking up just that it's just she's saying it's just very, very busy right now. It's showing me kind of chaos. It's showing me it's a constant loop of things that you need to do. She's saying you never stop. She's saying you never stop.
Well, that's,
go.
That is true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So
sure.
I have a question for you, Norma. Is there a possibility, it may not even be possible, for her to sit on your lap if she's that size of dog? Because some dogs can't. I always had Great Danes. They don't sit on laps very well.
Yeah, if she has a bed up where I'm working, and yesterday she was laying on top of the bed looking out the window. She can come and go in and out where I'm working, but she's got too much energy to sit in my lap all day long, if that makes sense.
Well, I was just thinking just a little bit here and a little bit there might be that extra attention that she's needing. Just to say, I'm going to have you on my lap for 10 minutes, soak up all the energy you want. You've got my attention while I'm working. It's divided. And then I'm going to put you back in your bed.
We'll give that a go. We'll try.
Yeah, that could work. That could work. And I was also thinking about, I used to bring my dog in with me as I worked, if I could. I mean, he was a Springer and he was very, he needed to go a lot of the time and run around. But a lot of times he would just settle down. I'm just feeling like she just wants to be with you more.
Okay.
She just wants to be part of with you. So yeah, if you could hold her for, 8 minutes or 10 minutes, or just give her a little time, I think that would make a difference.
Okay. I'll try that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Norma. And it's that time in the show. We're at the halfway mark, and so we get our little minute and a half commercial there, literally reminding you how fabulous it is to get a name reading. It's also fabulous to get a reading with Julie. Quite a few people had readings with her after the last time she was on the show. And like I said, everybody gives me feedback, and everything that everybody wrote about Julie was absolutely positive. So we're going to go to our short commercial break, and then we'll be right back.
How would you like to be able to read other people's minds? Well, the next best thing is here. When you know how to read a person's name, you know how the person thinks, feels, and behaves. Each letter in our name holds a key to unlock our true essence. Our name contains both our gifts and challenges in this lifetime. Nemology science discovers personality secrets hidden in the placement of the letters of our names, including the first and last impression people remember about us. Sharon shows us how to interpret the arrangement of letters as outlined in her book, Know the Name, Know the Person. Sharon Lynn Wyeth created nemology science after 18 years of research and testing her theories and has supported thousands of people around the world in understanding themselves and others better. You'll enjoy Sharon's unique teachings as she shares her system to learn the gifts behind your given birth name. Even if you don't like your birth name, there are jewels in this book. If you're thinking of changing your name, ready to name your child, or wanting to get along better with others, this is the book for you. If you'd like to improve your relationships and change your life for the better, get the book today, Know the Name, Know the Person, or visit www.knowthename.com. That's www.knowthename.com.
Welcome back to Know the Name, Know the Answers. This is Sharon Lynn Wyeth, your host. And our guest tonight is Julie Salent. Now, her website, how you can get a hold of her, is by her name. Julie is spelled the normal way. And her last name is like a sailboat, S-A-I-L. And then the last half is L-A-N-T. And her website is her name. So that's the easiest way to get a hold of her. Again, it is Julie Salent. She is our animal intuitive whisperer. She also reads people incredibly well. So it's always wise. Like I said, a lot of people had readings with her last time. I got very positive feedback from people when they called back in and said, can we have her back on again? I have a question for you. Julie, on my acre, I live in a cabin in the woods, and there's deer and squirrels and just a huge variety of birds and groundhogs and fox and tortoises. And I mean, I've just seen so many things. But the groundhogs have really been out this year. Is there a message that the groundhogs are trying to get across?
All the animals are actually trying to get our attention. For me, it's been the birds. For you, it could be the groundhogs, and for others, it could be something else. And they're really trying to tell us that they are here and that we are connected. That is the message that they keep trying to tell us. So in other words, no, my husband actually brought in a turtle today. He saved a turtle that was on a busy, busy highway. He brought it here. We have about 40 turtles in back of our house because we have a lot of water here. And the message is we are connected. And so you may see something that you think, oh, that's a turtle or that's a groundhog or that's a bird and we're totally separate. That's just not the case. And they're trying to tell us that we are all inhabitants of this earth. And I'll take care of you if you take care of me. Let's all work together.
See, and I always, every time there's the wire right outside the room where I work, and there's a wire that goes out to the telephone pole that's way away and everything's above ground here because we're in the middle of the forest. And what's really cool is the birds come and they keep sitting closer and closer to the house on that wire so that I can see them out through the window. And I like to see how many different varieties. And I always go, thank you for showing yourself to me. You are absolutely gorgeous. You know, yes. I love seeing the animals out here.
Yes. And the more that you identify them and understand that they're all separate beings. In other words, if you saw 10 geese, they're all individuals. They're not just all the same as humans are individuals. That's where the magic happens when you're actually opening your heart and saying, I appreciate you. I had a bunny the other day. We have about four or five bunnies here and they come out at night or early in the morning. And there was a bunny here and the bunny was really close to me. And I always do this. I say, first of all, thank you for being here. I love you. I'm sending you love. You are safe with me. And the bunny kind of closed its eyes. It was really nice. We had a little kind of connection. And then I said, is there a message that you would like to send to me? Is there something that I should know? And then the bunny told me. And so this is the easiest way to communicate is to send them the appreciation, right? If I met you on the street and I said, oh my goodness, Sharon, it's so nice to meet you. I'm so glad to talk to you today. You'd be like, oh, okay. And then how can I help you? And then ask a question. You'll be surprised at what comes out. I bet you'll get messages.
See, isn't that cool? I love the idea of asking back if there's anything that I can do for them after showing appreciation for them. And I think it's one of the things I love about where I live because I like hearing all the birds. I had company not that long ago, and they said, "It sounds like a bird recording outside your windows, only it's real."
Oh, that's so nice. Oh, I love that. That's so beautiful. Oh, man.
You know, and so many of us are fortunate. I don't know why I love the birds so much. I have no clue or idea, but I've always enjoyed birds. And it could be because the sister that I shared a bedroom with growing up always had a lot of bird cages.
Oh, okay. That could be. It also could be that birds are one of your totem animals, by the way.
Oh, wouldn't that be interesting? So, how does somebody find out what's their totem animal?
So if I read them, I can tell them what their totem animal is, but the totem animal is usually the one that you see the most and the one that will give you the messages. So in other words, a lot of times, say we're saying, "Oh my goodness, I'm having such a terrible day today." You know, if I could just have a sign that, you know, this job is okay or everything's okay with my family, whatever that question is. And then all of a sudden, for me, I'll see a hawk. Right? Hawks are my totems. That is always a sign that I'm on the right track. Or if I see a feather, I'm on the right track because I love birds as well. So whatever you see a lot of that you feel that connection to, that can be your totem animal. And all of their attributes are really yours in the connection with them, and yours are theirs. So if you've got birds, remember birds are high. They see things from a different perspective. And that's the beautiful thing about them, as well as them being beautiful and singing to us. And they're just very calm. You don't see birds having breakdowns very often.
Oh, that's true. That's so true. I always thought if I was going to have a totem animal, it would be a skunk.
You just never know. I can tell you what they are if I do a reading, but a lot of the time for you, it could be something like a hedgehog or a bird. You seem really connected with birds though. You seem very, very connected with them and their flight and how they look and how they speak with you. You seem like that's more of a connection for you.
Yeah, I have a hawk that comes out to the apex on the roof every Thursday. Thursdays during the day is my days out in the yard, you know, and just and working. And there is a hawk that comes to the apex of the you know, on the roof, literally waiting to say, "What's she gonna move that's gonna go scurrying fast and I can go get it?" And you know, she'll find the work and do the work for me, and then as the thing scurries, I'll swoop down.
Yes, because they're very smart. All these animals are smart and they know your routines. And anybody who's got the dogs and the cats at home, they know your routine. That's how they know when you're coming home. They know when they're going to get fed. So, yeah, same thing with wild animals. That hawk is smart. He's like, let her do the work.
It took me a while to figure out that that's what he was doing. I kept saying, "How come there's always a hawk out here when I'm working?" You know? And then a few times something went scurrying, and I saw that hawk go, pew! And I went, "Oh." Oh, lazy way. And stuff. What is your most memorable reading that you did for somebody? How did it help them and their animal? If you can think of one, I'm sure there's more than one in your head.
There are a lot, but I'll tell you one that really always stuck with me. And this started out to be a very not a positive thing. It turned out to be positive, but it started out negative. I was walking through the barn that I used to be at, and one of the horses pulled me aside and said, "I really need to speak with you." And I said, "Okay." And so he said, I need you to tell my person that I am older now and I cannot jump anymore. It hurts my feet. It hurts my back. I can do other things and I would love to do other things, but she only seems to want to jump me and it's really causing me a lot of pain." Okay, I said, okay. So I held on to that information because she didn't ask me for the to help to talk to her horse. And she happened to be someone who was very, she was not the nicest to her horses. Her horses were very sweet, but she would get on, she'd be cruel to them. She would use her whip too much. She was very aggressive. And I really, every day I would go in and say, "Did you tell her? Did you tell her?" And I said, "Not yet, but I will." So finally, after about 3 days, I said, "Okay, I just got to tell her and whatever happens, happens." So I did pull her aside and I told her, and she laughed at me and said, "Yeah, I don't really believe in that." And I said, "Well, you know what? I'm not here to convince you, but I want you to know that he has a lot of problems with his feet. He has a lot of pain in his feet. And she kind of sat there for a minute and said, you know, yeah, that's what the farrier said last time. He seems to have a lot of feet problems. And I said, that's because what you're doing is really pounding and it's difficult for him. He's not, you know, 10 years old. He's now 20. He's older now. He's a senior. You know, maybe you could consider trying something different because he's really wanting to do other things with you. And she kind of thought about it, and then she kind of warmed up to it a little bit. And she said, you know, maybe there is another way that I could make room for something different. And I said, he also wants to do something more fun. He's tired of going around in the ring. Maybe take him out on the trail, do something different. I mean, I don't know. I'm just giving you ideas. That's the kind of way I present things. Well, it turned out that she did. And she also gave him a bath and really fawned over him for a little bit. And he hadn't had that in so long. And he asked me to tell her that too. Just spend a little time with me. And he was the happiest, proudest horse. And I complimented her and I said, you know what? I'm so happy that you gave him some time. And it really changed their dynamic because she stopped jumping him. She started to do more fun things with him. And it really made a difference. And I felt really good about it that the human got it, the horse got it, and everybody was happy. It was amazing. I was happy for both of them.
Yeah, that's totally a win-win.
Yeah. And it was hard because, you know, I have to give the message and I have to give the words that they give me. I don't put my words in because it's meant for the person to hear. It's not for me. But when somebody doesn't ask me and I know they're being aggressive, I know that they're probably going to laugh. It's not my vanity or my ego. I'm more concerned for the animal. I don't want the animal to have any retribution because I'm coming forward with somebody and they didn't ask me for the reading, but this was such a strong message. But it turned out perfectly, and I just try to put it as, you know, maybe I would encourage you or I'd give you a new idea, and it's up to you to implement it and take it how you will, and that kind of usually brings the barriers down.
I was going to say, I always think you can say anything that you want to say as long as you say it with tact.
Yes, and just be kind, right? I'm not judging you, and your relationship with your animal is your relationship. I'm here to help you and help them. And if I can do that with tact and kindness, that's the best way to do it.
See, I like to do that, Julie, when I'm comparing the names. I look at the owner's name and I look at the animal's name and I compare the letters. And then I say, okay, just like I would with people, you know, okay, this is what needs to happen.
you are very tactful, Sharon, because when you did my reading and you told me things and I was kind of like, yeah, I don't think so. And you're like, no, you are. I'm seeing it. You were very tactful. So I really appreciate that about you. Sharon is amazing, everybody. I know you all know that, but the things that she told me were so spot on. And I'm just blown away by your gift, Sharon. It's amazing.
Oh, well, thank you. That's kind. Thank you. You know, I have fun doing it. And everybody always thinks, well, I know myself. And I think, there's always something hidden in a name. I gave a name reading last week to a person who's written me every day. Well, what about this sentence? What about this sentence you said? You know, and it's like, hopefully as life goes on, when you're looking at your seven lessons, you go, oh, done. Oh, I've got a good head start on that one. Oh, I'm almost complete on that one. You know, there's no judgment with when you get them done.
Yes.
It's like, here's the goal, you know?
Yes. And we're all on our soul's path to learn our lessons, and everyone has different lessons and there are different stages in their journey. I always think of it as a book and we're all at different chapters, and there's no judgment from the person that's on chapter 20 versus chapter one. We all started at one, but I think the beautiful thing is that everyone has gifts, and that's one of Sharon's gifts, and communicating is one of my gifts, and having empathy and understanding people's moods and vibes and being able to bring back messages from animals that have passed over and humans is one of the greatest things we can do. And everybody's gift should be celebrated, right? Because that's what we're here to do. We're all here to help each other.
I so think so. That reminds me of what I saw when I was watching America's Got Talent, the latest show. And I'm doing a lot of quilting right now, so it causes me to watch TV on my computer because I don't own a TV set. And they had the most beautiful act on And I thought, I am not a crier, but I just wanted to cry with joy. And this lady had made a choir out of all the homeless people around. She realized that this one could play this instrument and that one could sing and this one could do this. And she literally started a choir for all these homeless people, and it gave them all purpose again.
Purpose.
And to hear them on America's Got Talent, it was the most beautiful thing. Wow. And I thought, that is so moving. Oh, and then they had pigs on. You know, the stuff that they usually do with dogs, you know, the hips and everything?
Yep.
Somebody was doing it with pigs and hogs.
Pigs are super smart. Very smart. Very sensitive animals. Very sensitive. Very smart.
Well, that's why I don't think we ought to be eating them. But anyway,
I agree with you 100%. But, you know, you brought up a good point, and that point is that purpose is what people, humans, always need. You know, as we get older, people still need a reason to get out of bed. Well, it's the same with your animal. And I think a lot of people don't really think about this. And I know a lot of us, like my two cats, they're indoor cats. They do whatever they want. They don't go outside. But, you know, if you give them something to do, something to think about, especially with dogs, though, dogs do like jobs. Horses love jobs. They like a purpose. Every human being, every animal wants a purpose. And even if that purpose is just to love you or to guard you or to be your fluff ball, they want that time and that purpose because it makes them feel connected to you. And that's when all the good stuff happens. So having a purpose is huge for animals and for people.
I am so glad you brought that up, Julie. I would have never thought of that.
Yeah, purpose. I mean, and dogs, there are certain dogs that obviously, like work dogs, they really love a job. But my horse, he needs a job because otherwise his mind, he's too smart. His mind just goes and you've got to keep him centered. So doing things that are fun, like even just going to like a dog park or going somewhere different, just like a human, you don't want to eat the same darn thing every day. You don't want to do the same routine every day. They're the same way. So having purpose for everything on this planet is huge. Everything that you see, every plant, every animal, whether it's a wild animal, a bird, or your dog or cat, they all have a soul's purpose and journey, and it's interconnected with us and with others and with the planet.
Well, if animals like to do something different, I'm thinking of that dog. I drove from Texas to New Hampshire. That dog must have been thrilled because out the window was everything different than normal.
Yes. Yes, but you provided a safe space, and that's the best thing you can ever do. Get a safe space.
You know, an animal so changes a person's routine because I am so used to driving. If I'm going from here to there, I just drive solid. And it's like if you fill up the car, you empty the bladder. That's it. Stop again until you fill up the car, and that's when you empty the bladder, you know? And yet, because I had this small dog, and I thought, she's got a tiny little bladder, and I stopped every 2 hours and walked the dog for 20 minutes to a half hour.
Yes, and that's the beauty, is that they get us out and to do things, right? I mean, sometimes, you know, I could sit here all day. I work out of my house, too, and I have my own office, and I could sit here all day. But, you know, when you've got animals, they need to eat. They need to go outside. They need things. And that's a good thing because that breaks our patterns. And we get to say, you know, gee, it's a really nice day. I should really go outside for a little bit. And I've got to take my dog out. Okay, let's do this. So, yeah, look at it positively. It's bonding time. There's so many blessings that come with the animals, even the wild ones. There's just all kinds of blessings that you just have to pay attention to them and, you know, start that communication. Open it up.
You know, I was just reading today on the benefit of walking and how much walking can help you lose weight, feel better, whatever else. This is this whole wonderful article on the value of walking. And I was thinking about it. And I thought, all the dog owners are really smart. They're forced to walk.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? You have to make it fun, right? If it's something that you don't want to do, make it fun. But I am not a runner, but I will walk. And I found a lot of benefit. They're saying, I think it's just as good as running and stuff. It's less stress on your joints.
Right. And I remember my grandpa into his late 80s and 90s, he would walk between 1 and 5 miles a day, every single day. And sometimes when we'd be driving up to get grandma to take her to the grocery store or something, you'd pass grandpa and you'd say, you want to ride? And he'd be going like, no, I'm out on my walk.
Good for him. See, that was part of his purpose and his path. He needed to do that for himself. Just as we do. We all need a purpose and a path. That's amazing. That's awesome.
I always think of it. It keeps the body oiled. You know?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. My husband says that all the time. He says motion is the lotion for the body. So you've got to move, because when you don't, that's when everything breaks down. Like you're the Tin Man in the Wizard of Oz. You've got to move. Even if you're just walking, that's a good thing.
Oh, I think that's fabulous. There's a lot of people around where I live that are making paths and going through. And anyway, it's a beautiful area and a lot of parks around. But they have their, I mean, I walk and there's nothing. There's silence. I'm listening to the birds. I'm listening to the animals. I'm listening to the wind through the trees. But there's a lot of people that have that headset on and that phone that's going and they're playing something or whatever. And I think each their own, whatever works, they're out there walking.
Yes. Yes. And a lot of the time when the dogs really are, you know, usually dogs, you're walking, they need you. They'll get your attention. And usually that's when you'll, you know, take your headphones off or something, but you do have to pay attention. I mean, where I am, there's snakes and things. So you have to be careful and pay attention, but sometimes it's just nice to enjoy the journey with them. But you know, something that I want to go back to really quick, if we could, is the, going to say the Humane Society. Could I go back to that really quickly, Sharon?
Of course.
Going back to that, if you send out your positive intention before you go in and say that I'm here to, you know, find the best match for the highest and good of all, and I'm sending out my love, and then you come in and you keep that humble heart open, there is always, and I'm sure you've heard this a million times, there's always that one animal that will come to that person. And that one animal won't stop. They're like, they're trying to say, you're my person, you're my person. So try to just pay attention to the details of the one that keeps showing up for you, or the one that's trying really hard to get your attention, because they know their person. They know their person. They know who that right person is for them.
Isn't that amazing? I know that when we, years ago when my kids were little and we had moved back here from being overseas, and you can't ever take an animal overseas. So we didn't have an animal and they really wanted a dog again. And I said, okay, we're going to go to the Humane Society and we're going to commune with every animal to see which animal is ours. You know, and they were like, oh, mom. And so I said, okay, I will commune with each animal. You guys can run around.
There you go.
You know, but there was one dog that caught my attention and all the rest came yippy yappy yap up to the fence where I was. And this one dog just sat there and laid there and just looked at me. And the way that dog looked at me, I thought, that dog is trying to talk to me.
Yes.
And he's not yipping and he's not yelling and he's not a bouncy thingy. And when I walked through the whole thing, I thought that was my dog, because he was calm.
Yes. Yes. And they know how to approach you. They know their person. They know how to approach you and they will speak with their eyes. So in other words, if you want bouncy, they're going to give you bouncy, but they know their person, and it's a lot of it is the energy that you're giving off. It's just as if when you find your soulmate, right? You know in your heart and your soul that this person is for me. This person understands me and it's going to be great. And it's the same thing with animals. They know their person. So we just have to pay attention to that and not choose the one that's young or bouncy. We have to pay attention to the one that's really trying to speak to us, because that's the one that probably is the one for you.
Right. And that was a wonderful, wonderful dog. You know, we had him years and years and years and years. And I always thought if they could clone people, then they need to clone my dog, because that one was absolutely fabulous.
What kind of dog was it, Sharon?
I don't know. It was some kind of a mutt.
Oh, that's
I don't
okay.
know. I know that sounds awful. I grew up with Great Danes. And so, and other than Great Danes, I really can't tell you the names of different dogs. I just look at them as, I'm going to go to the Humane Society. I'm going to pick up one, you know, that is good and that I know that feels right. And that's how we've always found our dogs.
Yes. Oh, yes. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I love that, because that's the way it should be, right? It doesn't matter the age or the breed or anything. It's all about what's inside. Because remember, they only see your heart. They don't care how much you weigh or where you work or how big your house is or what you're wearing. They're looking at you from the inside, at the inside, and how kind you are and how much time you take with them. That's what they're looking at. And that's how we should strive to look at them and also other humans, the inside out.
I think that's just a fabulous way of saying it. You know, absolutely fabulous. Julie, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight, and thank you again for taking your time.
Thank you for having me, Sharon. Thank you so much. It was wonderful. I love talking with you.
Always my pleasure, Julie. Okay, next week is the first Thursday of the month. The first Thursday of every month. It's just me, guys. I'm happy to take your calls, interpret your names, answer your questions according to your names. So next week is the time if you want something known about your name or your purpose or comparing two names and how to improve a relationship, please give a call in next week. Again, if you want to find out more about Julie, all of that information is ready and waiting for you on both her website, juliesalent.com, and also on my website, knowthename.com, under the schedule page. Have a most marvelous week, and we'll see you again next Thursday. This is Sharon Lynn Wyeth signing off.